welcome to another exciting, very exciting edition of Curmudgeon's Corner. I'm Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Beau with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
It is, of course, Sunday, July 31st, 2011, as we record this. Who knows when I get it out?
Maybe by the time this goes out, we may be all completely bankrupt in economic chaos, or not.
Or not. You know, basically, the only topic we really had today is the debt stuff, but we might think of some other stuff to talk about, and Yvonne had some sort of technical difficulties. Do you want to start with your technical difficulties, or should we start with the debt?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think a couple of times I've mentioned that I do the show normally on this PowerPC Mac that I've had for a long time, okay?
Ancient computer, yes.
Yeah, it's a very old computer, okay? And so I know that I had Skype 2.8 on it. Well, the other day, and I had never updated it. Okay.
Right.
You know, so the other day, the frickin' application flashes, hey, there's an upgrade available. Would you like it? And I'm like, okay, sure. Well, here's the problem. The version that I had was the last version that actually supported PowerPC Max.
Nice. That, which is probably why it never told you to update before.
Well, I don't know why the hell it would tell me now. So the thing is that it told me to update it, and so it installed it. Now the application has this do not enter logo on it that says you cannot open the application Skype because it is not supported on this architecture. And I'm like, mother. Okay, so. All right. So now I'm trying to figure out how the hell to download. Is it in my trash, perhaps? The version that works, and I can't find it!
I take it this particular computer isn't backed up with Time Machine.
No, this one isn't, because it actually has no data really on it whatsoever. Okay, this is a computer that I have that is just sits there for web browsing and just, you know, inane stuff like that. But I store, like, no
nothing. Yes,
files.
I understand. I have a computer nothing. Like that.
Right, so if it dies, you know, it dies. I mean, you know, big deal. So, so now I am like, you know, wanting to frickin' like shoot myself as I scramble to try to find a copy of this damn thing to download somewhere on the internet because I can't find it on the stupid Skype website, for God's sakes. Ah, God, you know,
you know, whenever you are running, you know, antiquated technology, you run these kinds of risks. I remember a couple years ago,
I found it, by the way.
Oh, good job. My mom was finally ready to, you know, upgrade her laptop. She was going to buy a new laptop, blah, 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 because the old one was starting to have, like, you know, hard drive issues, and it was clearly dying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, it came time to migrate her data and stuff, and she had not upgraded the OS in, like, a couple major OS versions. And so it was incredibly confused, and it took me, I eventually found a way to move everything over. But because the old hard drive was dying, plus the operating system was so old, and the things didn't want to talk to each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it took heroic efforts to accomplish everything. But, you know, admittedly the hard drive was dying, which complicated everything, but it would have been a lot easier if it had been kept up to date. So I've been trying really hard to, like, you know, make sure she keeps up to date, make sure all the computers are kept up to date, blah, 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 blah.
Well, listen, look.
But in your case, you're at the highest level it should have been able to do, and for some reason it told you to upgrade when it shouldn't have.
Right, that's the one thing that pisses me off. Why the hell this stupid thing went and told me to upgrade it to something that doesn't work? Stupid application.
Because it loves you.
Well, I guess so. Well, the one thing is that I've applied almost every update to keep this computer current with whatever is available. Apple actually keeps up, you know, issuing updates to iTunes and to mail and to the operating system,
right, for security, right,
on a regular basis because the operating system version I'm running on this is not that old. I mean, it's the last updated supported version for this, which is 10.5.8, which came out in 2009. So it's not exactly like I'm running some, you know, 7-year-old OS version on this, you know. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, but I just, you know, I just got in, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, actually, here's the other thing that happened. I guess the power went out the other day, and so, you know, so when I got here, so I tried to wake the computer from standby, and it wasn't waking up from standby, and then I realized, oh, gosh, the power went out. Okay, I got to do a full boot. So then I do a full boot, and that takes a little bit longer, and then, you know, then when I do the full boot, then I go in, well, let me start up Skype. I hadn't started it since I did the update, because I did the update when we finished the last show, left it to the update, just walked in, go to fire it up, and it tells me, you know, I can't freaking do this. So that's, and actually, I already reinstalled it again, and it just fired up. So there you go. Okay.
So where are you now? And you're on a different computer.
Well, no, I'm still on. I'm still using my unsupported PowerBook, as we all know.
Okay. So let's take a quick break, and then we will come back and talk about real things. We're going to start by talking about the debt. And we'll talk about it when we get back. Enjoy your break.
We'll talk about the whole mess.
Yes. Yes. Here we go. Break, 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 break.
Break, 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 break.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then, let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
This next segment was, of course, recorded before the final deal was made on the debt ceiling stuff. So keep in mind that, and you can see how good we were or were not in terms of thinking about what might happen, since now that you're listening to this, you know what happened, or at least you know what happened if you were paying attention. If you weren't paying attention, then I don't know why you're listening anyway. Okay, here you go. And here we are again. So first of all, let me say, I will make some sort of attempt to get this episode out in a more timely fashion than I usually do, because there's quickly breaking news events, but I will probably fail. So
by the time you get this episode, either we will be in economic chaos and, you know, and nobody, you really won't care much about the episode, or maybe this will be the only consolation to be able to listen to us rant about it, you know, as the world falls apart.
So now, as we are recording this, which is Sunday right now, as this very moment, it's 16:14 UTC on Sunday, July 31st, which is 12:15 Eastern, and a little bit earlier than that Pacific time where I am. Right. 3 hours earlier, but I can't do 12 minus 3 in my head because it's really complicated.
I know.
Anyway, as of this very moment, the latest stuff I've heard come across the wire is they're close to a deal. Now, the deal that they seem to be close to seems to basically be the
same fucking deal they had like 3 weeks ago.
Well, it's basically the Democrats giving the Republicans everything they want, right?
Well, not really, because you got to remember something. The reason we're at this stage right now is because what the Republicans wanted was honestly a fucking well, which Republicans are you talking about?
Well, no,
wasn't a balanced budget amendment passed like by Tuesday?
No, let me put it this way. The key elements that you know, Obama always said is basically failure to raise the debt limit unacceptable, but there should be substantial deficit reduction, and but any deficit reduction package must include revenue increases. And right. there, and I read that list off a recent post by Matt Iglesias. But apparently what they're doing is, and also that this gets kicked past the 2012 election. So I guess the current thing has no revenue increases, very significant cuts, but it does kick it past 2012. Is that where we are right now? I'm losing track.
Now, the one thing is, here's the thing. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said on CNN there would be no tax increases, but on CBS Face the Nation, McConnell hedged a bit, okay? Now, this is the thing, okay? They are giving the Republicans the ability to say that there are no tax increases, okay?
Right.
But in reality, in practical terms, they're not really it's not that absolute.
Is it this thing about eliminating loopholes and all that crap?
Right. It goes back to the thing that they said, we're going to go with tax reform, okay? All right? But, you know, but they are not, you know, they are not saying, you know, they're trying to couch it back to the position that we were. That's like I said, the where we were a long time ago, where, you know, it's trying to give them a way out.
Well, okay? people have said when looking at all of these plans going back and forth that if you look at them objectively, they've never actually been all that far apart.
No, they haven't.
They've been sort of like, you know, yeah, we could just, you know, split the difference and be done. But the key is Boehner's
last proposal. The one that the Republicans passed with a stupid balanced budget amendment said on it, tax reform.
Right.
Okay. So the thing is, you got to take something. The Republicans right now are taking the code word. They're trying to use tax reform. Well, we won't accept revenue increases, but we'll accept tax reform. Now, what the fuck does tax reform mean? Listen, if you go back to the deal that the Republicans did with Reagan in 86, that is the same fucking thing they did back then. They said, oh, we're not going to do tax increases. Well, we'll do tax reform. Well, guess what? At the end of the day, the way they did the tax reform, a whole bunch of people want to pay more money. Okay. Right. All right. So you want to fucking call it tax reform because it makes you feel better? Okay, fine. Okay, good. All right.
Well, there are a lot of games being played here with what you call things and basically to some degree giving the Republicans a way to back out of everything they've said before. But you do have, you know, you do have this rump part of the the Tea Partiers who are like, we're not going to vote for this no matter what.
Well, and they've been called insane now by everybody, including their own fucking old presidential candidate, for Christ's sakes, who fucking went and just called them that they're fucking like...
McCain called them hobbits.
Hobbits, yes. Okay, pretty much. I mean, you know, Boehner said for them to fucking get their ass in line. McCain pretty much said...
But look, here's another thing that's interesting, though, is that, you know, the House could have had a deal a long time ago if all we needed was a majority of the House. But yeah, because you could get moderate Republicans plus the Democrats on board with all kinds of different deals.
Sure.
However... Yep. Speaker Boehner, whatever.
Whatever the hell, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Won't bring something to a vote unless he feels he has at least a majority of the Republicans in favor of it. Like, the clearest path, if you took out, you know, leadership's influence here, which I know is a counterfactual, but if you did that, then what you need is the Democrats plus a few moderate Republicans and you'd be done. But... because the leader has the prerogative of what to even bring to the floor to a vote, you need a lot more Republicans than that, you know, in favor. And that leads us to where we are.
So,
you get yesterday, on Saturday, you had the dynamic where... the Republican leadership was like, we're close to a deal. We're close to a deal. And the Democrats
is like, no, we're not. You know, what the hell? And I've seen this. You've seen this happen over the last month, like more than once, where some guys are going, yeah, we got a deal, Oh, no, we don't have a damn deal. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with all these people?
And so people are cautioning, of course, you know, it's not – a deal is not a deal until it's done, you know. So they may have a framework, they may have whatever, but, like, in until the votes happen and the president signs it, this is not a done deal.
You know, look,
which
you
may know, well happen in the next few hours.
May well happen in the next few hours, or maybe not. You know, and then you've got people, like, for example, wondering, okay, all the worst-case scenarios, right? You know, which, you know, let me give you, I mean, I think one of the scenarios which I, you know, one of the things that was happening, which is quite interesting, was I can't remember who was out in Afghanistan, and the troops out there were saying, shit, are we going to have paychecks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, let me give you a whole bunch of stuff. Let me put it to you this way. This week it came out that Apple right now has more cash on hand.
I know. I love that. Apple has Treasury. More money than the federal government.
Than the federal government at this moment, yes. Okay? They have more money. And so we're talking about, okay, what are the different things and scenarios? Okay. So the second rolls around. Why is it that they put the second deadline? Because on the third, there is a huge interest payment due. All right?
Right.
The cash that's on hand, basically, you pay the interest payment, we're done. We're out. There's no more money.
Right.
That's it. We can't pay dick, okay? When I'm talking about dick, I mean I'm talking about everything. Forget about the airports. Forget about fucking Social Security. Listen, the whole thing, this is the one thing that got me pissed off. Obama goes on TV and says, guys, you know what? We can't pay Social Security. He wasn't exaggerating. We can't, okay? We can't. The choice is either default on the debt, and by the way, any moron that thinks that the debt default is not a disaster, believe me. I was in Argentina when they defaulted on the debt. Believe me, it's a fucking disaster, okay? All right? There is a sovereign country defaulting on the debt is a fucking catastrophic event. These idiots that are sitting in Congress right now acting like, it's no big deal. They are absolutely the most clueless fucks I've ever seen in my life, okay? I'm like, my God, you don't understand what you're fucking with, okay? All right? Let me put it to you this way. If we default on the debt on this week, who the fuck is going to go out buy treasuries 2 weeks from now when we actually go and fucking, like, default on the debt on Tuesday? You think anybody in their right mind is going to be willing to go out and start shelling out money for U.S. treasuries? How the fuck are we going to pay for anything? The kind of chaos that these morons are flirting with is just out of control. And I'm just like, you know, they just think it's just, yeah, fuck it. What the hell? So, hey, no airports, no TSA, no FBI, no highway funds. The troops, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do with the war. I don't know. Hey, they're not going to be able to, no fuel, no.
Hey, Apple has more money than the U.S. government, so the troops are okay. Apple just gives them all iPods.
Well, there you go. That's something. Well, you know, what the Argentinians did back then, because the government ran out of cash, you know what they did? They actually went to the banks and took all the money that individuals had in the bank, over $2,000 in the bank.
Yep.
You like that scenario?
I don't think that's going to happen here.
I'm just saying that other countries, that's been the kind of fucked up scenarios that they want.
First of all,
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm telling you.
I think if push comes to shove here, you know, we're either getting Obama invoking the 14th Amendment, which a lot of the Democrats are now saying, fuck this shit, Obama, just go ahead and invoke the 14th Amendment. And that's the 14th Amendment says debt shall not be questioned. Congress hasn't done their job, so I'm gonna increase the debt anyway, even though Congress has said not to. Go ahead and impeach me, you motherfuckers.
That is an option, and I'm like, you know, if we have to get to that, I'm like all for it, because, you know, whatever. They can't let this fucking country go to chaos because these assholes won't do their job.
And then there's the super coins.
And there's the super coins, which, by the way, made the cover of The Economist also. It was not there. They were talking about the super coin as well. Everybody loves a super coin. The super coin.
And by the way, you don't really have to do, like, two two $1 trillion coins.
We could do $2 trillion coin.
You could mint coins each day as needed.
Right.
To cover that day.
Ah, gosh, I love that.
That would result in some nice inflation. But, you know, maybe we need some. I don't know.
Well, there's been some people arguing that we need inflation. Actually, I've been one that's argued that we need a little inflation. I don't think we need that much, though. What would be the inflationary effects of printing money in that sense? I don't know. I can't say in advance. I mean, but.
Right. If just at the bottom line, the rule was no more debt, spend as much as you freaking want, but print the money to cover it every day.
The inflation would be a problem.
I hesitate to make predictions because people listening to the show will probably know what happens better than we do. But
I don't know. Are they going to come to an accuracy?
Yeah, that's true.
Are they going to come to a deal?
Yes. Are we coming to an actual deal where Congress does what they're doing, or do we get into one of these situations where Obama has to do something, whether it's the 14th Amendment or the Supercoin or whatever, on his own?
I think that there will be a deal. Okay. I think scenario A that I see, they will make a deal.
Okay.
I think they will make a deal. However, I will say this, that if it doesn't happen, I think Obama will go with the 14th Amendment scenario and just say, fuck it.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, he has himself said that his lawyers say that's not a good idea. But, you know, if he's pushed into a corner.
But if we're pushed into a corner, I mean, what other choice do we have? I mean, we're not going to fucking destroy the nation because of these fucking jerk-offs.
Yeah. So, and one thing I wanted to point out that I saw noted somewhere that is something interesting. People have been saying this is the first time America would default on its debts, blah, 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 blah.
That's probably not true. That's got to be some point.
1979, there was a similar situation where Congress was wrangling. They did come to a deal. They did come to a deal to, quote unquote, avert the crisis, but they were a little bit too late. And so everything got its act together again and was able to move properly, the Treasury did default on a small amount of debt. It happened in 1979. If you Google 1979 default, you'll see a bunch of different articles about it. But
well, defaulted by how many days? What did they issue a payment? How late?
It was just a few days.
Okay.
It was just a few days. But
well, I think that also... I thought that sometime in the, early time of the country.
sometime in the history of the country, yes.
Yeah, before that, we also defaulted on something.
I'm not sure about that, or whether we did or not. But I know in 1979, apparently, we had a small technical default where we were a couple days late paying some stuff. Anyway, so you think they'll make a deal?
But by the way, the United States thus defaulted because the Treasury's back office was on the fritz. This is how they
in 79.
Yeah. And by the way, here's what it says. Since the day Alexander Hamilton, the United States never defaulted on the federal debt. That's what we budget watchers always say. It's a great talking point, one that helps bolster the argument default should not be an option debt. There's just one teensy problem. It isn't true. As Jason
Give the source of where you're reading.
This is from... Oh, gosh. It's a place called dmarron.com.
Okay.
dmarron.com. And if you actually just put 1979 debt default on your web, you know, on a Google search, it'll pop up. So it says, as Jason Zweig of the Wall Street Journal recently noted, the United States defaulted on some Treasury bills in 1979, and it paid a steep price for stiffing bondholders. Terry Zivney and Richard Magnus described the debt default in the Financial Review. Investors in T-bills maturing on April 26, 1979 were told that the U.S. Treasury could not make its payments on maturing securities to individual investors. The Treasury was also late in redeeming T-bills, which become due on May 3rd and May 10th. The Treasury blamed this delay on an unprecedented volume of participation by small investors, on failure of Congress to act in a timely fashion on the debt ceiling legislation in April, and on an unanticipated failure of word processing equipment used to prepare check schedules. Okay? All right, so a big part of it was, you know, technical difficulties. The United States thus defaulted because Treasury's back office was on the fritz. The default was, of course, temporary. Treasury did pay these T-bills after a short delay, but it balked at paying additional interest to cover the period of delay, according to Zivni and Marcus. It required both legal arm-twisting and new legislation before Treasury made all investors whole for the additional interest. Some may quibble whether this constitutes default. After all, the United States did eventually make its payments, and disruption applied only to a sliver of its debt, certain T-bills owned by individual investors. But I think it's unambiguous. A debt default occurs anytime a creditor fails to make a timely interest or principal payment. By that standard, the United States did default. It was small, it was unintentional, but indeed it was a default. Okay? And the nation still stands. But that hardly means we should run the experiment again at a larger scale! Okay? Zivni and Marcus examined what happened to T-bill interest rates as a result of the small temporary default. They find a surprisingly large effect, okay? As best they can tell, T-bills interest rates actually increased 60 basis points after the first default and remained elevated for several months thereafter, okay? So, basically, yes, it did happen. And by the way, because it did happen, even though it was tiny, and that was a tiny sliver because most of the debt got paid, it was just these individual T-bill investors that didn't get paid, okay, on time, there was a huge price, okay, on that tiny default. Okay, on that piece. So, just, you know, yes. Let's just, point is, let's stop fucking dicking around. Let's get this thing done, for God's sakes.
Okay, so let's take another break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about the actual deals on the table and what the potential effects of them might be. We'll be right back after. Oh, it's your poem of the week. Enjoy Woo-hoo. Your poem.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Messed Up Nature Poem Part 5 by Joseph Harrington. Continue to rise, depending on where they are at. Feed primarily on waste, fleshy tubers, possibly six depending, female, mound of vegetation, to begin breeding. Shuffle up and down the river, pop up over the horizon, dance to relieve the stress, very social. In the evening, opportunistic, feet are important tools, also used as a weapon. Feet and legs work in conjunction, maintain balance, then jump up and strike. Do you ever stay warm while standing for hours? Reduce the amount of blood. Vessels are right next to each other. The colder blood before the body.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, Vaughn, so the deal that's most currently on the table has a lot of cuts, has something about requiring a vote on the balanced budget amendment, has some triggering position stuff that if certain things don't happen, what the hell is the current thing on the table?
Let's see, because here's the thing. I mean, this
of course,
has
it's
happening.
Changing every couple hours.
Well, that's the point, yeah, because I was going to say right now, I'll go back to that I found over here, which was mentioned the latest on the deal.
Okay. There we go.
So, all right. Let's see. I don't know if they release enough details. There's an agreement, So, they're talking about a $3 trillion deal, okay? I think that because I guess they do have this deal. They do include the debt deal triggers, okay? So this is what happens according to this deal. It would the terms of the – so they've got they talk about $3 trillion, but a whole bunch of the cuts are not going to be decided at this moment. Okay.
Yes, there's going to be a commission.
Right. Okay. Would link further borrowing leeway to a potentially far-reaching overhaul of the tax code. You see, that's what I'm talking to you about. The fact that, you know, they're doing tax reform instead of saying revenue increase. That's their way out.
Okay? And of course, like you said, they are saying that they will do it. They're not actually doing it now because, of course, figuring out something like that is extremely complicated and not something that's going to happen in like a few hours. Unless, of course, you just said, fuck the IRS, go to a flat tax, which you could do in an hour. But
So they go and overhaul the tax code, defense spending reductions, a review of major safety net programs, okay? But the one thing is that what they did is that the second stage, in order to do that, I mean, if they don't do certain of the things by a certain time, it would trigger some automatic across-the-board spending cuts, okay? All right? In order to keep with that. So,
and that's just the kind of thing where every line item on every budget is cut by X percent.
Right. Okay? You know, so it's like, you know, so you've got the option of right now, which I guess that's good because that makes them time. It's like, okay, great. So we agreed to this framework. We're going to do this, this, and this. It's going to save this much. Okay? And, you know, if we don't do it by a certain amount of time, was what they said, debt deal triggers, they basically call it mutually assured misery because they're just going to fuck everybody across the board at the same, you know, the same way. Okay? So that's, I think in broad strokes, that's what's basically on the table, and they put that target, which is a $3 trillion target, okay, on the table, okay? And I guess the way out for the Republicans right now is that they're just going with a tax code overhaul, not revenue increases, and there's going to be, you know, a review of our, you know, of our major entitlement programs and all the stuff that we've been talking about probably for the last few years that we should have done in the first place.
Now, I've seen a lot of argument from the left side of the spectrum over the last 24, 48 hours that, again, this is like their worst nightmare because it involves all sorts of cuts to all kinds of programs they care about even with your tax reform stuff. There's not significant tax increases. One of their talking points forever has been tax increases on, you know, the top 1% or whatever. There's none of that.
Well, I'm going to disagree on the part about the fact that the tax reform was not going to actually generate the tax increase.
I'm not saying it's not generating
it, revenue. That's the argument that people – right.
I'm not saying it's not generating revenue. I'm saying from the left's point of view, an important part of the talking point is actually changing the distribution of where the revenue comes from, and they want something more than the revenue you're going to get from a little shakeup. They want outright tax increases in a number of categories.
But I will tell you that an outright tax reform is going to – look, here's the problem. It's going to wind up in increasing the tax burden. A lot of people are making a lot of money. Okay. There is the loopholes are so slanted, okay, towards top earners, okay, that – there is just no freaking way, okay? The people who are making a lot of money are not going to wind up paying more, okay?
Let me move on because that was one part of what I was saying. So, but in the end, they're saying, you know, fundamentally, they're still going back to the argument that this is the wrong time to do any of this stuff. We're still in the midst of a very precarious economic situation.
Well, and
basically that anything like this that is going to reduce federal spending will inevitably have an impact on jobs in the economy. And we've had a jobless recovery anyway. If we start reducing the number of jobs that are either directly federal jobs or are via, you know, companies that do business with the federal government, which, by the way, is a lot, we're potentially pushing ourselves into a double dip with this kind of stuff.
And that's one of the big problems that the Republicans don't want to understand. The fact that right now, you know, everybody keeps – I see all these – the Americans for Growth and all these other fucking morons running all these ads talking about how, you know, the stimulus package was a failure and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, gosh, you fucking idiots. You know, and it didn't create jobs. And everybody's talking, well, where are all the jobs and stimulus plan? I'm going to tell you something, okay? When you pass through a stimulus like that, there's no way of fucking guessing. I mean, you know, it isn't a precise science, okay? You know, it's not like, oh, we're going to spend $700 billion, and that means that we're going to absolutely, you know, create X number of jobs. Because you don't operate in a vacuum, okay? The fact is that the stimulus, if you go around to almost every state, saved a lot of jobs in terms of public workers, teachers, police officers, other things of a primary need. Okay, it did. However, the economy was still such it shits that there were still private companies who were still laying off thousands and thousands of people. But the reality is that if there was no stimulus, it would have been worse. It would have been worse, okay? Anybody who argues the opposite is really not looking at the data. The reality is it would have been worse, okay? Now, the problem that we've got right now, we had an economy that was being boosted by both the Fed, both a lot of federal spending, and even with all of that right now, the Fed, we had a slowdown in the first half of the year, and I will say that a big part of the slowdown had to do there was a big part related to the Japanese earthquake. Okay, people don't understand that we did have a slowdown because of that. Okay, because the Japanese were not purchasing stuff from us, and because we were missing raw materials for a lot of stuff in order to do certain products. Okay, auto manufacturing got impacted. Other heavy equipment manufacturing got impacted. There's been a lot of things that were impacted by the earthquake. So you've got that, and then now all of a sudden you want to go and turn off the fucking spigots even further of the federal government. And they think somehow that, yes, if the federal government spends less, the economy's going to boom! And you know what, idiots? No. Okay? Because the problem that you've got right now with people out there is that unemployment is still sky high. People are in debt, okay? And they can't get out of it, okay? And, you know, what the fuck? Just because the federal government spends less, what the fuck do you think is going to happen? What? It's going to put money in people's pockets? No. What is it going to do? Nothing. It's going to wind up right now. It's going to just wind up putting the economy in a worse situation. So, you know, the arguments have been, and everybody who has a fucking mind has said that we need to wait. Okay, in order to cut spending. Okay, now there is spending, by the way, that you could cut that doesn't have that much of an impact on the economy. For example, ones that's a proven fact: military spending. Okay, all right. I mean, you know, if we get out of a war, it really, honestly, I mean, you know, the additional war expenses are money that we're sending overseas. I mean, it's really not helping that much the economy, to be quite honest with you. So, yes, if we were to, you know, cut down our war, you know, involvement, that's something that would certainly help the debt while having very little impact on the economy. But other than that, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just don't, you know, it's just stupid right now what these people are proposing to a certain extent.
But so, yet that's what's going to happen?
Well, most of the bills I've seen, even like right now, a lot of the spending cuts are not to take effect immediately.
Yes.
Okay.
However, a lot of, you know, they are front loading some. You know, they're pushing some back into the future,
right?
Obviously. But I think one of the things that the Republicans have in fact insisted on is that some of this stuff happens right away. Right. Because they feel like they've been burned in previous situations where they've agreed to some sort of deal where cuts happen over an extended length of time, and by the time we get there, things have changed and they never actually get cut.
Right. Yeah. So I know that that's been – and you know, these guys are itching, you know, to deliver on the bullshit that they promised, and so I guess some cuts will have to happen. But, you know, I mean – Look, here's one thing. You know, we've said this before. The biggest part of all the spending that the federal government has is composed of like three or four things, okay? It's really, you know, First, interest payments, Social Security, Medicare, and the military. Okay? Those are the four things that spend like 90% of the money. These guys are fucking going around cutting, you know. These guys are going around, for example, wanting to cut Pell Grants, okay, for college.
No, well, that was apparently one of the sticking points. At least that's one of the, yeah, I don't know if it's
true. I mean, and I'm like, I don't know why they have a fucking burr up their ass against fucking Pell Grants, for God's sakes. What, they don't want people going to college?
They said it was welfare.
To help people go to college. Really? I mean, what the hell do they have up their ass against fucking Pell Grants? I don't understand that. I mean, I don't see that as welfare. I see it as investing our, in children's education, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they only want people to go to college who can pay for it in cash.
We're rich? Okay, great. Wow. I'm sure that would have helped you when you went to college, too. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, really?
I'm pretty sure I had some Pell Grants.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fuck. I mean, almost everybody I knew had some a part of these. And I'm like, what the hell? I mean, so these people only want rich people to go to school. Okay, wow. You know, it's, yes, $35 billion. They're saying something like that the Pell Grant program is like $35 billion. Well, fuck, you know, we're spending $35 billion and going, sending kids to college. Look, I will say this. I mean, I do agree right now that college, the price of a college education has spiraled out of control. I think in part because colleges, I don't think that something needs to happen with our current educational institutions where their spending has just spiraled out of control over the last 20 or 30 years. Okay? Inflation has not been, you know, their tuition increases have far exceeded inflation. You know, and you're trying to, I mean, and the only reason that is because, you know, right now, for example, we went to Carnegie Mellon University, right? When I graduated from college, our tuition was approximately annually $13,000 a year, okay? Do you want to know, take a guess at how much tuition right now is at Carnegie Mellon this year for 1 year? Take a guess.
Much? No, I don't know how much.
$43,160. It's more than triple. Okay? And we have not had 300% inflation in the last 20, and not even 20 years yet. In the last 18 years. Okay? I mean, this is the stuff that I don't understand. How costs have spiraled so out of control at schools. And the problem is that their costs have spiraled, okay, internally. And they're not doing a good job of managing those costs, okay? That's the problem. And something's got to happen with educational institutions in the U.S. where they, I mean, this just can't keep on happening. I mean, what the fuck? If that's 18 years from now, okay, your child is how old right now, Alex?
He'll be 2 in September.
2 in September. So 16 years from now, right? So this 18 years to 43,000. So what the fuck are you telling me? What? His college is going to cost $85,000? How the fuck are you going to send a kid to school if it's 85 grand a year? And you're like thinking, well, that's insane. Well, that's insane. If I would have told you when we graduated from college that Carnegie Mellon tuition was going to be $43,160, would you have thought I was on crack?
I don't know. Things were growing pretty quickly at that point, too. And, you know, when you extrapolate out exponential growth, things get bad fast. I don't know.
My point is that, for example, you take anything that cost a certain amount of money back then, it has not grown at that rate.
That's true. Okay. Education costs have grown faster than everything else.
But it just doesn't make sense that they're growing that fast. My thing is that I'm thinking that universities are not doing a good job of managing costs. And one of the costs that you have to manage is, unfortunately, yes, we have a tenured education system that leaves professors that basically with lifetime freaking employment, which to a certain extent is good on one end, but on the other end, it's creating a fucking bloat that of costs that is just fucking making education unaffordable.
Anyway. So yes, that's one of the things that the Republicans want to cut.
I don't think that even though that's a problem, I don't think that we're gonna. I don't want to not send people to college, especially at these prices.
Yes. So I don't know. Education is a whole other topic we can get into about why the costs are high, what to do about it, you know, what...
And healthcare!
What level of education is, like, you know, because it's probably not appropriate that everybody gets a college education, but on the other hand, maybe more than do. I don't know. Anyway, that's a topic for another show.
But here's the thing right now. Let me tell you something. I think, honestly, we have to work to a society where the majority of people need to go to college. We're moving away from manufacturing jobs. We're moving away from menial jobs. I mean, the jobs of the future are jobs that require a higher level of education. If we don't get a higher percent of kids to go to college, what the hell are they going to do for their future?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you in general. Then you sort of always have to deal with the fact that there are certain people out there who, you know, their maximum educational level isn't quite that high. And what do you do with those folks? And I'm not talking about, you know, people with outright disabilities. Just, you know, some people are more academically inclined than others.
Absolutely. I mean, and in the U.S., we don't have a good way of getting the type of education that those people should have. I mean,
well, and also there's the question about the structure of education itself in terms of, you know, how much of it is education for education's sake versus how much of it is training for jobs that are actually available in the workflows.
Right.
There's a lot going on there. Let's take a break. I have a couple other topics that I thought of that I just want to quickly go through, and then we'll wrap up the show. I was going to say lighter topics, but one of them's not really that light. So we'll be back after this with a couple short things and then wrap it up. Okay, here we go. So I just wanted to mention, you know, two things. I'll start with the lighter one, I guess. There was a news story that a couple days ago that Alex Trebek, the host of the game show Jeopardy, was injured when he was chasing down a burglar in his hotel.
What?
So here's reading a little bit from an article in San Francisco Gate website. Alex Trebek, host of the television show Jeopardy, was injured early Tuesday as he chased a burglar in a San Francisco hotel. The longtime game show host appeared on crutches Wednesday to host the National Geographic World Championship at Google's headquarters. It happened 2:30 a.m., chasing a burglar down the hallway of my San Francisco hotel when my Achilles tendon ruptured, and then I fell on the carpet, bruising the other leg in process.
Well, why
surgery
in the world
on
was
Friday.
He chasing the frickin' burglar in the first place? I mean, I figured just call 911.
San Francisco police officials confirmed a burglary at San Francisco Hotel early Tuesday, but would not identify Trebek, 71, as the victim. Lieutenant Troy Dangerfield said two people were asleep in a hotel room when around 3 a.m. one of the victims awoke to notice someone in the room and then noticed the suspect leaving the hotel room.
Oh, jeez.
Dangerfield said the victim was injured in the process of chasing the subject. Blah, blah, blah. Moyers, who was not an employee of the hotel, was booked on charges of burglary and receiving stolen property. The victim's stolen items, purses, and wallets were found near an ice machine in the hotel.
Well, let me tell you
something. Stolen
cash
was not immediately recovered.
Let me tell you this, that I've had a couple of hotel burglaries happen over the years. We actually, when I was a teenager, we were staying at the Sheraton Washington Hotel, okay, for an event. And in one of the adjacent rooms, one of the kids that went with me woke up in the middle of the night to find a burglar in the damn room, okay? It was just like this. It was really freaking scary. And I'm like, we did chase him down, but the guy got away. Okay. All right. So this has happened. The other time I had, like, my brother, last year, was it? He was staying at a Hyatt Regency in Houston. Okay. And, you know, you leave your stuff in the room, like your laptop, your stuff, whatever, the clothes, dirty clothes, everything. They got back to the room, and the room was cleaned out, empty, everything gone. I mean, they didn't even leave his dirty clothes, okay? I'm, like, wondering, what kind of a fucking burglar is this desperate? He took dirty underwear, for God's sakes. I mean, really? Listen, it looked like somebody came through and just cleaned out the room. They didn't leave the toothbrushes. They didn't leave the toiletries.
The market is really, really hot for used toothbrushes.
Toothbrushes, absolutely. Look, so they go back down to the front desk. They thinking, wait a second, did they think that we overstayed or something? Or like that we forgot the stuff and they cleaned out the room? And they said, no, it was stolen. Gone. Everything. I mean, what I'm telling you, everything. It's everything. Like, you walked into the room like you hadn't checked in, like you never checked in. Everything. Okay?
Yeah.
So Alex got, you know, just my recommendation. I mean, I know we chased down our burglar. I didn't chase him down, but my buddies did. You know, look, it's not worth it. Just fucking, you know, if you scared him off and he's running away, just let him.
And, you know, we're talking about a 71-year-old guy, you know. I mean, I guess props to him for running, but, you know, he ended up injuring himself and requiring surgery, you know.
They're joking that the 71-year-old starred had pursued her on foot, snapping his Achilles tendon in the process. Surely, and in quotes they put, surely while shouting, don't mess with Trebek!
okay, so the other thing I wanted to mention, and this one's a bit sad, but I mentioned it because it was very close. Let me to where I am. A couple weeks ago, I guess at this point, not this week, but the week before, I was, you know, in the morning on Mondays and Wednesdays, my routine is that I get up early, I get Alex out to take him to daycare, and then from daycare, I then go to work, okay?
Okay.
So, on the way to dropping him off at daycare, I'm going on I-90 East, and I notice I-90 West is completely and totally jammed up.
Okay.
You know,
is that normal?
Nothing moving. You know, I see sirens converging from all directions, so something had obviously just happened at that moment. And this was, you know, so I was going on I-90 East. About 15 minutes later, I would have been going on I-90 West where this happened. As it turns out, what there was there was an accident with a large 18-wheeler hit another 18-wheeler that was a logging truck. And when there was the collision, one of the trucks jackknifed, the one with the logs on it lost its load of logs all over the car, all over the road. It ended up involving both of the large trucks plus 12 vehicles, 12 cars. And there were a bunch of serious injuries, blah blah blah. I believe in the end, only one person died. And so the rest of what I'm going to talk about is about that one person who died. And so it turns out, it was a 9-year-old girl. She's been making the news since then, you know, all over the place internationally. And here's why. On her birthday was June 12th. And let's see. I'll try not to break up when I read this because it's kind of one of these emotional things. By the way, I did not know this person in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, I saw the accident. So
yeah,
like,
I know. You saw the accident.
You know, I mean, I couldn't see the actual mangled car. Well, I saw some mangled. But also, the thing is, like, if I had been, you know, if I had been running 15 minutes earlier, if I had been on time rather than 15 minutes late that day, I would have been smack in the middle of this thing, too. Mm. She posted this on a site On June 12, 2011, I'm turning 9. I found out that millions of people don't live to see their 5th birthday. And why? Because they didn't have access to clean, safe water. So I'm celebrating my birthday like never before. Excuse me. I'm asking from everyone I know to donate to my campaign instead of gifts for my birthday. Every penny of the money raised will go directly to fund freshwater projects in developing nations. Even better, every dollar is proved when the projects are complete and photos and GPS coordinates are posted using Google Earth. My goal is to raise $300 for my birthday, June 12, 2011. Please consider helping me. Thank you so much.
Man.
And it turns out she ended up $30 short of her goal.
Now.
Before her birthday.
Close.
So, they
well, I'm looking at now.
Exactly.
She's raised like $600,000.
They reopened it, and as of right now, $723,000 and $723,000 and a few change, and 36,000 people have donated. Mm. So, you know, anyway, the URL for anyone who cares. MyCharityWater.org/Rachel's 9th birthday.
I couldn't open it.
No. Anyway, there you go. We gave $90. Oh. You know, just because.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Anyway, oh. I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Well, yeah, that's not, you know.
I mean, it's been going up by about 100,000 a day the last few days.
Okay. Well, I guess they close it down because I tried to go in right now and it's not.
No. I'm there right now. I just opened it up a few seconds ago.
What the heck? Rachel's, mycharitywater.org. Rachel's 9th birthday?
Ninth,
is that it?
9th. 9th.
9th birthday. Oh, there it goes. It's going now. Okay.
So anyway. All
right, so we're at...
And anyway, like
campaign.
I said...
Campaign. Well, you know, she's got to be smiling. She's if there's an afterlife, she's definitely got to be smiling because I love this $300 campaign goal. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, like I said, it's one of those that, like, it hit me a bit because it's like, first of all, there's this, like, compelling little story of the little girl who wanted, you know, to give money to charity instead of... you know, presence. But also, you know, like I said, it's like the place where this happened is like a mile from my house. And, and you know, I would have, and like I said, you know, 15 minutes later or earlier, if I'd left 15 minutes earlier, I could have been right smack in the middle of this 12 car pileup, you know?
Yeah.
And, I gather in the end there might be still be some people in the hospital, but everybody else is going to be okay. She's, the only one who actually died in this incident, I think I could be wrong, but I think that's the case. You know, anyway, to end on a, you know, sad, depressing note, I guess. Well, it's nice that she's raised, you know, $750,000 almost at this point. But anyway, that's a show. Unless you got anything else, Yvonne.
Nah, let's wrap it up. Thanks everybody for joining us today.
Okay, thanks, and
remember, feedback. Have we gotten feedback?
We have not gotten feedback in a while, and you know, I'm still way behind on the stats, so I don't know if anybody's even listening anymore. But last time I did stats, we were running like, you know, almost, you know, between 20 and 30 people a week listening, so, or at least downloading part of the show, which isn't the same as listening, but, you know, close enough.
Close enough. Okay.
Okay, thanks everybody. Email me, abelsmay@abelsmay.com, with any questions, comments, feedback, all that kind of stuff. Tell your friends to listen and tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.